The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Welcome to the Student Debt Relief Series, a podcast for lawyers, law students, and the legal community that offers tips and tools on how to cope with student debt while working in public service. I'm Heather Jarvis. I'm Senior Program Manager for Equal Justice Works. Equal Justice Works provides this information for educational and informational purposes only. And even though I'm a lawyer, this information is not intended and should not be construed as legal advice. This series is a joint production of Equal Justice Works and American University's Washington College of Law. For more information on anything in this series, visit equaljusticeworks.org or wcl.american.edu. The Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, created by the College Cost Reduction and Access Act, is intended to encourage individuals to enter and continue in full-time public service employment by forgiving the remaining balance of a borrower's eligible student loans after the borrower satisfies public service and loan repayment requirements. To qualify for public service loan forgiveness, a borrower must make 120 qualifying monthly loan payments. That's once a month for 10 years while working full-time in a qualifying public service job after October 1st, 2007. This brief episode will focus on what counts as qualifying public service employment for public service loan forgiveness under the College Cost Reduction and Access Act. There's lots more to understand about public service loan forgiveness, so check out the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Checklist at the Equal Justice Works website, my personal favorite resource, and also check out the other issue-specific podcasts and our full-length podcast for more information. But here I will just focus on qualifying public service employment. So if you've got full-time paid work for the government, you're in qualifying public service employment. It doesn't matter what you do for the government. You could be a lawyer, you could be a teacher, you could be in law enforcement, lots of things. As long as you're working full-time and you're getting paid, if you work for the government, you're in qualifying public service employment. Now, government jobs include work for local, state, federal and tribal governments, plus work for government organizations, government entities, and government agencies. As long as you're not an elected member of the United States Congress, if you think you've got a government job, you probably do. Elected members of Congress are specifically exempted from public service loan forgiveness. So pay your student loans back, Congress. This is for the rest of us who are working away. So if you're working for the government full-time, you may as well turn off this podcast and go and get some fresh air because your job qualifies. Another big category of folks are going to qualify if they work for 501c3 nonprofit organizations. I work for a 501c3 nonprofit, Equal Justice Works. And there are lots of 501c3 nonprofits in America. They do a whole variety of charitable work. So for lawyers specifically, most civil legal aid offices are 501c3 nonprofits and would then be covered under that definition. But do bear in mind that there are some nonprofits that don't qualify for 501c3 status. So if you work, for example, for a labor union or a lobbying firm, those may be nonprofit but not 501c3 nonprofits. So full-time paid work for the government for 501c3 nonprofits. And then also, if you've got full-time paid work in an AmeriCorps position or in the Peace Corps, your employment also qualifies for public service loan forgiveness. And in addition to these large categories, the statute also says that your employment may still qualify if you work for a private, quote, public service organization. Now, the regulations had to flesh out what Congress meant by a, quote, public service organization. And the definition that the regulations came up with is pretty restrictive and probably doesn't include a whole lot of employers. But what it says is that if you're working for an organization that provides specific listed services, and then there's a whole list, including public interest law services, but also including law enforcement, public health services, public library sciences, all kinds of things. So if you're providing specific listed service and the organization you work for gets at least some government funding, and the organization you work for is not organized for profit, is not a labor union, and is not a partisan political organization, plus is not engaged in religious activities, then the place you work for might count as a, quote, public service organization. But remember, most of us don't have to figure out if we work for a public service organization, because most people in public service work either for the government or for a 501c3 nonprofit. So it's only the people who don't work for the government or a 501c3 that have to look more closely and see whether or not their employer fits this definition of public service organization. Also bear in mind that you must work directly for the government if you want to be considered to have a government job. So that does not include folks who do contract work for the government. So, for example, there are lots of lawyers that do contract indigent criminal defense work, but don't actually work for a state or county public defender's office. So if you have that situation, you don't have a government job, and at that point you'll have to look and see whether the organization you work for counts as a public service organization, because certainly you would be providing the specific listed service of public defense, but your organization would have to be not organized for profit, get government funding, and meet the other parts of that definition. So as far as public interest lawyers, the vast majority of folks are covered by the government positions and the 501c3 nonprofit positions. That includes prosecutors, defenders, civil legal aid lawyers. But the big categories I can think of that don't count under the definition in the statute would be, say, people who work for labor unions, people who do lobbying full-time, and also those contract public defenders often will not be able to meet the definition of the statute as interpreted by the regulations. So the second part of having a qualifying public service employment is to make sure that your employment is full-time employment. And full-time is defined by the regulations. So the regulations say that you've got to work an annual average of at least 30 hours per week. Now, I don't know many people who work less than 30 hours per week. And I don't know a lot of public interest lawyers who work less than 30 hours per week. But if you manage to have a part-time job and you're working 20 hours a week, and that's not going to count as full-time under the statute. But you can put together more than one job into a full-time job. So you could, say, work 20 hours a week at a nonprofit, 501c3, and 20 hours a week for the government, and put those together into qualifying public service employment that would count as full-time. Now, the regulators were careful to cover teachers and others who work for contractual employment periods. So we were concerned that people who worked, say, during the school year and were off in the summers might have difficulty meeting the definition of full-time. But that has been addressed in the definition. And it says that as long as you work for an employment period of at least 8 months and you average 30 hours per week during those months in which you are working, that you're good and you count as full-time. So As long as you're 30 hours a week while you're working and you've got 8 months on, teachers should be able to qualify under that definition. And finally, one more wrinkle to the full-time definition is this. The regulations say that if you're working for an organization that's got its own internal definition of full-time, and if that definition is more than 30 hours a week, you have to meet the requirement of your employer rather than the 30-hour per week requirement. So, say, for example, Equal Justice Works said, I have to work 40 hours a week to be full-time. If that's the case, then I would have to meet that 40-hour per week standard rather than the 30-hour per week standard. So mostly folks who are in nonprofit positions will want to clarify and double-check with their employer about whether or not they have an internal standard of full-time. So just to recap, qualifying public service employment, it's full-time paid work for the government, for a 501c3 nonprofit, in an AmeriCorps position, in the Peace Corps, or for a private, quote, public service organization. And full-time is basically 30 hours per week. So check out the other podcasts about the other issue-specific items. And there's a full-length one that tells you everything you ever wanted to know and more about public service loan forgiveness. And visit the Equal Justice Works website. If you have follow-up questions for me, you can find our Student Debt Relief Forum. And register for the forum, post your questions online, and then I go in every once in a while and try to provide answers for people. So good luck with your public service, and good luck earning loan forgiveness.